Jimmy Smith on organ, jazz organ at that, with The Sermon. It is one of my absolute favorite tunes by him. Lee Morgan is on trumpet, Lou Donaldson on alto sax, Tina Brooks on tenor sax, Kenny Burrell on guitar, and Art Blakey on drums. This is the title track from Jimmy Smith's 1958 album. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we are fortunate enough to join again with each other this week. Although I have to say it. I prepared my program as usual and sent it in, and I thought, well, okay, time to do the show. It was a whole day ahead of where I ought to have been, and I couldn't figure out why nobody was around. What happened to everybody? Wasn't what happened to everybody, it was what happened to me. I went into a Rip Van Winkle type sleep. And luckily, I had prepared my program ahead of time because I blew a whole day. I did not know what day it was when I woke up. Well, anyway, that happens sometimes. It's called aging, I think. You know, your brain starts to go funny. And but I just thought it was kind of funny because I was in a state of panic. I couldn't figure out what had happened, what day it was. I couldn't figure out my orientation. I had to take some time to get it together. But us together, and now I know what happened. What happened was I got so zealous. I prepared my program way ahead of time. I had so much time on my hands. I had a whole extra day. And I said, I think I'll go to sleep for a little bit. And that was that. So don't do that. Okay, if you're going to go to sleep that way, please have somebody nearby to rouse you from your Rip Van Winkle rest. So what are we talking about today? We see that the nation continues in a state of turmoil and chaos. And when you say the words turmoil and chaos, you're talking about Donald Trump. So the turmoil and chaos continue. People are trying their best not to walk away, although you can tell that that's exactly what they want to do. They want to walk away. They've had it. There is no way to work with this man because he's got problems. And he sees the world in a very bizarre way, but it is to be the only way that anybody around him should see the world. For example, President Trump insists that a drug, a malaria drug, drug used to treat malaria, should now be widely used to treat the coronavirus. He has no scientific basis for it. He is not a scientist. And he has not yet revealed the source of this extra special knowledge. But he wants it done. And his rationale is, and this is even more bizarre, what have you got to lose? This is his retort to people saying, Mr. President, you cannot do that. You cannot tout a drug that was created to treat something else, thinking that it has application here. We cannot do that. It hasn't been tested. We don't have any quantifiable proof. And it's not conclusive in any case that it will work. Trump, in his own world, because he's a stable genius, you know, insists that there be essentially a trial of the drug. Never mind the fact that it's people's bodies that he is laying claim to. He's just declaring ownership of their bodies and their minds. You will do as I tell you. And I tell you, I have a strong belief. You know, when he believes something strongly, it's as good as fact. I have a strong belief that this will work. So we should try this. And we should encourage people to use this drug. It's called hydroxychloroquine. It has been used successfully to, in some instances, to treat malaria. But they're not saying it's not a drug that is used by itself. It requires a lot of companion medications. And it requires that the patient be on intravenous medication as well. You don't just take a pill and you're on your way. But there's a reason that we get these outrageous behaviors from the president. And it has to do with the fact that he's out of his mind. I said it early. Nobody could tell me that I didn't say that. He has deep psychological issues, and nobody wants to tread close to that. Nobody wants to take that on and explain that the president's mental health continues to be a major source of the problems that the country is experiencing. One minute he says this, another minute he says that. Sometimes it doesn't even take a minute in between. He is confused. He is chaotic. He makes decisions on a whim. And these are not mild decisions, small decisions. These are life-altering, life-changing decisions for people and the world. And I have no answer for why the members of Congress, both houses, have not put this president in check. It is so clear to anybody looking at this president that something is seriously wrong in his head. But people look at him and say, well, you know, he's rich. You can't be crazy and rich. Or put the other way around. You can't be rich and be this crazy. So they throw that idea out. Number two, they're against Trump and making his life miserable because he's a visionary. He's a true leader. He's the kind of leader this country has been waiting for all these years. We've had dull people. We have had people without imagination and courage. We have had a raft of people who couldn't figure out how to solve problems. But now we have a true leader. And he has brought the country in such a short time, he's brought the country such a long way to almost perfecting the image of what this country ought to be. And that is why people hate him. They hate him because he's smart. They hate him because he has a vision. They hate him because he knows how to take charge and what to do. That's not what the evidence shows. Right now, as we speak, members of his advisory council, members of the people who supposedly surround him in order to give him good advice, have just come through a tremendous internal fight. It almost came to blows, from what the reports are saying, over this idea that everybody who has the virus or even symptoms of the virus should be administered hydrochloroquine, this new treatment that he has devised. Never mind the legal implications, never mind the real implications. Could people die? Well, you know, you take a chance. But as he asked, and he asked these stupid rhetorical questions, what have you got to lose? As if it's not evident enough. What have you got to lose? And that amounts to the level of care and analysis and trepidation people should have making, especially when they're the head of a country, making decisions willy-nilly, off the cuff, this way. And he can't understand why people are upset. And his cronies are there as the great chorus. They repeat everything he says. You should ask one of them. We should be able to do that. If your child were diagnosed with the virus, would you be comfortable just throwing a couple pills down his or her throat because Trump thinks it's a good idea? Would you do that? You know, there are people crazy enough to say, I believe so strongly, I would even sacrifice my child for a pretty stupid, crazy decision because I believe in Donald Trump. He is the leader we need. Well, we have to do some more thinking. because this is going to be with us for a while, including the aftermath. And we saw no real appetite or inclination by the people who are supposed to safeguard the nation from tyranny, from people doing bizarre things for no reason. They are so intimidated, they have backed away. They don't want anything to do with it. And they think that that is sufficient proof that they oppose this president. But it's not about opposing him. It is that the president, in their view, and these are professionals, the president is very ill and has managed to avoid or escape the kind of scrutiny that deserves to be brought here, because the issue is we have a head of state who has lost his head. And if that is found to be the case by the professionals, and they're saying it now, then what do you do? Do you just say, well, people just don't understand him? Create all kinds of excuses for why this man should remain in office. And we should be very clear by this point that it is so that a whole layer of protection has been formed around him by people who see it as to their advantage to do so. We will surround him, we will give him cover, we will do what we have to do to defend him, because in the meantime, we have all these different things we want to do. We have career goals in mind. We have money that we want to make. We have things that we want to achieve personally that require some degree of approval from him. So he becomes necessary in our individual endeavors. So we're not inclined to say anything wrong or anything bad or anything critical about the president. And so they justify their betrayal of the people's trust, their betrayal of their own offices and their own duties to this country. We are about, according to the reports I'm reading, the next major problem will be the possible loss of the U.S. Postal Service. It is on the brink of collapse. I'm not hearing any discussion about that. It's not seeming to be a national problem, because, well, you know, it's seen as regular people use the post office. The people of means, they don't use the post office. They don't need the post office. But here's the thing. It's only a month away that the Postal Service is going to run out of money. And even though we only have a sliver of time left, it still is not being discussed. Why? Because Donald Trump doesn't recognize it as a problem. Therefore, his minions don't recognize it as a problem. They would probably come to recognize it as a problem on the eve of whatever the shutdown date is projected to be. So we're talking today about the government, the people, and this coronavirus pandemic, because it's a triangle now. Things have been triangulated. No one thing exists without the other. They're conflating. And instead of the media doing its job of really discussing the state of affairs of this country, it's sexier because it's, you know, more, quote, newsworthy to talk about the crisis we're in and not the person causing the crisis we're in, not the person at front and center of the crisis we're in, and not the policies or the extremely altered policies that have caused the crisis we're in. When we reach the point that there is no national outcry, when people are told, what do you have to lose? Here, swallow this pill and go away. Take a gamble with your life. Because I said so. I think it's a good idea that you should try this pill, which has no factual backup for it. No science behind it as a treatment for the coronavirus disease. And we're so calm. We are so calm. So maybe something is also wrong with us. We have to examine ourselves to find out if there is something wrong with us. And I believe there is. We have entered an alternate reality. We lose our minds, our capacity to think, our capacity to independently understand what is going on and what we should be doing. What is our role in all of this? The media is on its own thing. It's doing its own thing. It's following the sensationalism of a story. But actually, not all stories have sensationalism as the centerpiece of the story. There's the human condition. There's the human impact of policy. And sometimes it's small impact, sometimes it's massive, as it is now. And when not even that causes media to say, well, you know what, we really have to look at this thing, because we are on the brink of something we have never seen before in this country, but we have heard it associated with Nazi regimes, dictatorial regimes. And this is not the first expression of Trump's attitudes in this fashion. So we should be asking the question, is the president fit for office? Should the president be left as the leader of the United States? Is it supposed to be automatic that he does what he wants, irrespective of what the law is, what Congress says, what the people say. That is the real pandemic here, because all over America, it's the same thing. Donald Trump has bent the rules in such a bizarre way that, wrong as he is, it passes muster because people are too cowardly to challenge him openly. We will not gain anything by our silence and by our cooperation, something this, it is evil. And in the end, we will be the ones who will be sacrificed. We will be the first ones, as a matter of fact, most of us, to be sacrificed. So it's a say nothing, do nothing attitude that we all have acquiesced to. No matter how bizarre things are, no matter how crazy the formulation, we have learned well as a society to tolerate it, and even to go the next step, to celebrate it, to defend it, knowing it is patently wrong. Patently wrong. Professional psychiatrists and psychologists are seeing time and again examples of how off the chain this president is. They have been warning us that we must do something. We must engage constitutional protections for the people, because this one individual, left to his own devices, which has happened for the most part so far, will absolutely ruin us, destroy us all. Imagine that. A president of a so-called democratic society saying, I approve of this drug. I heard it does some good things. Take it. You have nothing else to lose. And that passes for policy. And people who are critical are said to be, you know, leftists and crazy people themselves. No, we have to come to terms with this. Part of the work that must be done now, it seems to me, is to deal with this question of the sanity or the capacity of the president to lead. He's hobbled, obviously, by his own demons in his own head that cause him to do all kinds of things, but things that really don't pertain to the benefit of the people. Just himself and his family and his cronies. He's not qualified to sit in that office. He's not qualified to hold the title simply because, well, an election was held and Donald Trump came out as the winner. He's also unstable. He's also unpredictable. He's also an inveterate liar. He's also unprincipled. He also is a cheater. He also has disgraced the country. Surely There is a fix for that in the Constitution. And there is. It's called the 25th Amendment. It says that the people have the right to determine in infinitesimal detail whether a president who, though might have won an election, is so screwed up in the head, he will be a danger to this country, as Donald Trump already has proven in so many ways, a danger to the country. And the right place for him at this time is in treatment. Even if it is arguable whether it would help. But this is the question that this nation must confront, and it must answer definitively. This is the virus we have been living with for 3 years now. And we have to decide whether we're okay with living with deadly viruses, or we're just taking a shoot of the dice. We're rolling with the dice. This is our new attitude. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, whether it is that a person would die by taking a drug that the president thinks will work, or whether we have a nation of laws and rules that we follow so as not to fall apart and disintegrate. I'll stop here right now and take your questions after this break at 888-874-4888. Coming at you right after the break. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM, and we're talking about the virus that we have been putting up with for 3 years. It's called Donald Trump. And professionals increasingly are sounding the alarm that there's something dramatically wrong with this president that can be fixed only if intensive treatment is accorded, and he undergoes that kind of intensive treatment. He's not going to do that. So the obvious question is, what are we prepared to do? Well, one possibility is to pursue the 25th Amendment of the US Constitution, questioning the president's mental capacity. Who will support it? We don't know. But we cannot continue this. We're seeing signs every day of his unpredictability, his strong-headedness, his belief that this is his personal property, and he can do with the country whatever he wishes to do, whenever he wishes to do it, and have the people he is attacking pay for it. Your questions and comments at 888-874-4888. We start with George.
Oh, hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, sure. Yeah, like a lot of people, I've been hiding in Hell's Kitchen 22 or 23 hours a day. And, you know, with the issue with Donald Trump, at least regarding this virus, you're right. I would give him, if I put out a grade, I would put out an F. If I was sick, I would probably give him an F triple minus. But there's also a lot of blame to go around with the World Health Organization, the CDC, and all our politicians. And if they didn't see this coming, and to me, it's just something that could have been minimized. And with Donald Trump, you know, at least what of course, there's all kinds of crazy things he says and he does, and, you know, it's, but at least regarding this, one thing, the only thing I could say is, he is standing up to the FDA and pharmaceutical companies who, in my opinion, are horrified that there could be an inexpensive treatment for this particular disease. And if you search on hydroxychloroquine on the New York Post, there are several articles that show that hospitals are using it and people have come off respirators from it. So I think that's what to Donald Trump's credit, even though, of course, you know, he gets an F and all the crazy things he says and does. Hopefully now it's getting better. But I just wanted to say that he's saying that, you know, if you're dying, why not at least give it a shot?
That is the lousiest argument ever. If you're dying, why not give it a shot? The question is, why should you, whether you're dying or not, be prompted by the President of the United States to gamble with your life? It's against the law. It's not supposed to happen. And doctors are saying this to him. And his medical advisors and medical experts are saying, this is not what you do as a head of state. And he's overriding them. They had a big fight just last night. Because he wants to make it the national law. But it isn't about the law in that sense. It is about the power. He's becoming more and more comfortable with absolute power. Who is the President of the United States, or anybody else, as a matter of fact, to tell me what medication I should take? He's not a doctor. He's not a scientist. And this is not his business. His business is not to decide for anybody what approach they should take to getting themselves better. Nobody tells him what to do. Nobody tells him what medications he should take to stop lying. No medications that say what he should, suggestions as to what medications he should take to be honest and tell the truth. This is a fundamental breach, and it is bold, it is indefensible for anybody to reach this point as a leader of a country and say, well, what do you have to lose? If you could be that casual about other people's lives, why don't you apply it first? Let's see you apply it to your family. How have you applied this to yourself and your family, this philosophy that you have? What do we have to lose? This is the serious question.
Compassionate use, like they do that in cancer all the time in cancer treatment.
Yes, but here's the point. There is still the notion that a patient is an independent person who has rights. The president needs to get out of his hospital room. And let me go even further to say, if you dig a little deeper, you will find, or you are likely to find, a monetary link between the president touting this particular drug or that particular medical treatment over another. We know how it works. We know he has no compunction about doing whatever he needs to do to make money. But this is a new low, a really new low, and we ought to confront it and we ought to defeat it. This is wrong. Thanks for calling.
Sure.
Thank you. Jay from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Teresa. I hope you had a beautiful and safe weekend, and it's glad to hear you on this Monday morning.
Thank you.
Afternoon, rather. Listen, it's at the point now to where it's just beyond unreal. I mean, I think it was 2 weeks ago, because of him pushing this same drug, an elderly man died, and I think his wife may have died too, or she may have recovered. Experts said that we need to wait and look and see. And here it is, this guy basically prime time is on television pushing this again. Something is fundamentally wrong with the media, with this society, with just how we are allowing this type of absurdity and madness to go on in our faces, and to watch this individual be able to do the things that he's doing. Where is Congress? Where is the Senate? Where is decent doctors who have the ability and the will to stand up? Where is the media? You know, just where is...
Well, I want to defend the doctors here. They have come forward and they have unilaterally condemned this. They are not with this program at all.
You, Therese, because you know and I know there are people today who are online searching for this drug and this epidemic and panic, that are purchasing it and that are basically taking it, that could lead to their demise. And you know, you have some of these sickos who are giving it to their kids. This is just amazing. But I want to know this, Utrice, and I think somebody needs to do an investigation on this. What does him and his family have to do with this drug? How are they going to benefit from it? Because the manner in which he's pushing it, I'm going to just come out and say it, he has some financial stake in this. Because there's no reason for him to be pushing this drug in the manner in which it is, when they're now saying that people who the drug is intended for, lupus patients and some other patients, and now not get the drug. This is madness. This has to stop. We as a community in this country have to do something and figure out what we can do. I've sent emails to MSNBC and CNN saying that they must do something to put a stop to this. This is crazy. You don't do this to your...
That's why we're talking about it. It's crazy, but it seems to pass muster in legislatures and in the minds of people who are well-placed. They don't seem to put up enough of an outcry about it, but we still do have evidence that it is not 100% that way. We have many professionals standing up and saying this is wrong, totally wrong. The thing is that the people who surround Trump, or maybe put it differently, the people who Trump has surrounded himself with are not saying anything. They really are not, as a group, You may have one person saying a phrase here and another one saying a sentence there, but there is no policy position that they have taken that the president is wrong. The president's opinions do not reflect what the group is thinking. Thanks, well, Jay, for calling. Finish up.
All I can say is this, Utrice. Thank you for what you do, for putting this out here, because we need somebody like you in this fight right now. And I just hope that people
don't
protest.
Don't forget, I didn't know what day it was yesterday. So I need treatment too.
Well, listen, you may need treatment, but the bottom line is you're going to go to a reputable doctor to get the treatment that you need. You're not going to go and follow a crackpot like this character, are you?
No.
Okay. So you say.
Absolutely no.
All right. Have a good day, and I love you, sister.
Thank you very much, and back at you. Willie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
My beloved sister.
How are you doing?
Fun. I just love hearing you. Listen to you. Listen, you, my sister's a nurse. Does that qualify me to denounce you as being irresponsible? Because I heard one person call. You know, all you have to do is just listen. Just listen to the state and the mind of these people. You know, Trump, the so-called president, it's not a problem. The real problem is the American people being dumbed down. That is the problem. Because if you've broken his policies, his actions down to us, and PRN basically does that. But the masses of the American people, they're totally out of their minds. This is why he could say and do these things. Maybe if he says that you should drink some gasoline, there are people that will defend that argument. This is what has happened to the American mind, outside of the people that listen to PRN and DAI. That is the real problem, not Trump. Because the fact that we voted for him, it tells you straight up, the whole world is looking at this. And they're shaking in their boots because they know this is a dangerous, a crazy, stupid nation of people. But they're dangerously armed. So the world is going crazy. The only people that think the weaponry that this nation has, it's okay. It's the American people. Everybody else around the world knows how dangerous it is with this guy in sitting as president. That's the sad story.
But that notwithstanding, people are entitled to have whatever opinions they have. What is accounting for the fact that there is no consolidated effort in the United States to face this president down and his administration, the administration being people who he has surrounded himself with, and who basically have to repeat and support the crazy things that he says and does? What does it say about our condition in that sense?
Well, that is just what I'm saying. The American people have lost their minds. Their minds have been taken. This is why
so
PRN...
We just say, well, okay, the people have lost their minds, and therefore what? We do nothing because the people have lost their minds? There's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can say. There's no way we could resist. Because people have lost their minds?
Absolutely. There is something that we should have been doing, you trees.
Yeah, but shoulda, coulda, woulda. We're talking about what is happening right now. It's unfolding right now. And We have a battle going on right now, but we're not in it. We don't have 2 cents put into this battle. We're just standing on the sidelines watching to see how it will turn out, but we are not participating in this battle.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I'm not qualified to speak on that. I don't know. You know, but I know it's totally madness. And everybody else around the world knows. The media has a huge part to play in it, because once you can control the electronic and print media, you control the mind of the American people. And that's the biggest part of the problem. Because if they were doing the job that you and the people on PRN were doing, this could not have happened in the first place.
Well, we have to find a solution. We, the people, have to find a solution. That is our task, because whether people want to admit it or not, we are the targets. We are the targets. We are the ones who will suffer and pay the biggest price. So we have every reason to be mobilized around this, every reason to resist it, every reason to call it out. But we're not vocal, we're not being heard, we're not being seen as resisting this trend. Well, it's not a trend anymore, it's a fact. This is a totalitarian state under Trump. And we, all of the people, are responsible for letting it come to fruition, letting it become reality. So we will have no reason, no rational reason to protest once it's done. It's a done deal already. He's not proposing this. He has already taken the position that this is the way it ought to be, and this is the way he's going to make it. We keep missing the point every time. And sooner or later, we will have to point the finger of blame at ourselves. By then, it's immaterial.
Too late,
so many people would be dead. So many people would be harmed. So many people would lose their rights only because we didn't speak up and because we didn't show up. Thanks for calling in. That brings us to the end of our program today. It is vitally important that we talk about these kinds of things over and over again. And the effort is being made to educate everybody of the clear and present danger with which we live. We have a right, it seems to me, to speak up and to do something about it. And we should not automatically assume that we will be defeated, that there's nothing we can do, that the machinery of the Trump administration is so overwhelming, so large, so powerful, that we cannot make a dent in anything it does. So we just need to get out of its way and let it do what it wants to do. And we will figure out afterwards how we could adjust to life under a new set of rules, a new regime. That is exactly the pattern of dictatorships. We will change the rules abruptly. We will change the rules to suit us. You don't have to worry about that. You just have to worry about obeying these rules that we are now putting in place. You shouldn't question what is behind it. You shouldn't question who gains by it. We've already done that work. We figured it out. But we have to have your utter and complete cooperation, and more importantly, your obedience. So, are we signing up to be obedient people? We'll see. Thanks for listening, and we'll join each other again tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Stay up to date with PRN for the latest on COVID-19, the coronavirus, on PRN.fm, the Progressive Radio Network.